This is a podcast from the Abbey at St. David's Episcopal Church.
Welcome to our podcast, Reflective Spaces. This is a space where we hope will be a place to explore how images, dreams, and ideas can emerge when we sit quietly and allow meditation or contemplation to enrich our spiritual lives. Today, we're going to read and we're going to have a reflective space on the poem "For the Thousandth Time I Want to Know" by Mark Nepo. And hello again. And here I am with Linda Young Caffey, Joyce Palovitz, and myself, Gustavo Hernandez. Great to be back. Linda, Joyce, how are you?
Great. We're good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. You know, we are, you know, well into 2022. So it's, you know, it's things are going well. So Linda, we're going to start with this poem, which you're going to read for us today.
All right.
And I think we'll take our conversation from there.
Sounds good. For the thousandth time, I want to know. If an empty box is torn apart, the air inside still joins the rest. If an empty heart is shattered, the love inside still coats the stars. And when a dove is born, its shell is done. How much fear we know depends on whether we live as something torn apart or as the air released. How much pain turns to suffering depends on whether we live as something shattered or as the love about to join. We can live as a shell waiting to crack or as a dove waking to its song.
Thank you, Linda. That was, it is a beautiful poem. And we selected this poem, all of us together, but you know, you were the one that, you know, you gave us, you know, some options. And maybe we'll start with you, Linda. Why did you choose this poem as one that we'll reflect on today?
I think part of it has to do for me with kind of the state we're in culturally, politically, environmentally, all this that's going on, and there's so much uncertainty. And for me, how he addresses that with the fear, the issues about your choices with fear and pain, where they can go. I like that he is direct, straightforward, and frank about that's the way it is in the world and with us individually. And that we do have choices on how we work with it. And I thought one of the reasons it looked interesting to me is because to have a conversation with you about it would kind of expand it with the two of you all. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact I feel stronger and more grounded when I feel like I have choices instead of things just happening to me that are beyond my control, but I can still choose how I respond.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, John? You know, I'm mm-hmm. going to say it took me a while to find that in the poem. I'm going to be honest and say I knew when you first sent it to us, I knew it was a meaty poem to unpack. And I also knew that I needed some time to kind of figure out my own reaction to it. And it did take me a while to find, that's what he's really, one of the things he's saying is there are choices with how I think about just this idea of an empty box with air in it. And what happens when you collapse the box? You know, what happens to that? And the choices that we make. So I found my way to that place. And I think it's a wonderful reflection on how we, the choices that we do make, and how do we respond when it feels like we're just a cracked shell that's going to be left by the side, by the side of the tree, or, you know, falling out of the nest and it's a cracked shell.
Yeah, you know, that is interesting, Linda, and you're right. It's very clear in the poem that it's about helping us turn in some direction, like the choice as to what we want to look at. But the thing that stood out to me is that that when you are, that the things that are of nature, the things, everything returns to where they belong, right? And that, and I saw the shell at this idea that, you know, of who we think we are, but when we crack it, you know, who we really are, we cannot avoid but to return to where we come from. And that is the case for air. It just naturally returns, mm-hmm. right? You know, love, even though the shell has been shattered, still is love, and it finds a way, you know, to manifest itself in the world. That's kind of what I got out of it, you know, is to be in the flow of life itself. It is unavoidable but to return to who we really are. And so I found it very comforting.
Yeah.
You know, that is, it's really, it doesn't matter at the end of it, right? When my shell gets cracked multiple times, I will get a little closer to the true manifestation of who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. You know, one of the images that was coming to me when you were talking about, both of y'all were talking about the box, is what they say in Eastern thinking, philosophy, whatever, is that you have to have the empty space to have the bowl. And the empty space is part, it goes with it. The air goes with the box goes with the air. When it's smashed, the air goes somewhere else, but they both, they depend on, they're interdependent, put it that way.
Yeah.
Which is sort of what we are. And a lot of these things that he's talking about the fear and the pain and suffering and all that, it's all interwoven. But we do have, we can partially, because I know what we're about is a lot of contemplative practices, finding grounding so that we can respond instead of react. And then that does remind us that we go back to from whence we came.
I want to share what I experienced this morning, because I was actually thinking about this poem. And so first of all, I want to say poetry, thinking about a poem, thinking deeply about a single poem, is such a, it's such a gift, and it's such an important thing to be doing. Mm-hmm. So this poem was on my mind because I knew this, our conversation this evening was coming up. And so this poem was on my mind as I was sitting in meditation this morning. And I began to have this image of my body, my physical body, as the box or the shell. And that simultaneously, there is a part of me that is the air within the box, that is the thing that is in the shell. And that's the thing, Gus, I think you're talking about, that we return to. And I found it so helpful to be sitting there thinking, was actually very aware of my body, my physical body, as a shell that is just a shell. When I die, whenever I die, that shell will go away, but there is something that lives beyond that shell. And it was so powerful to me to be sitting there in meditation this morning, thinking about my body as that empty box, as that shell, and that yet there is something inside of me that I think and I believe is part of a bigger thing, that when this shell, this body cracks and goes away, there will still be the air, the thing, the essence that was inside of it that is entering into a vaster space.
I love that, Joyce. You know, and you know, it goes back, like when we talk about, you know, when we meditate, we say, just be a witness to your thoughts. You know, just observe them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or observe your breath, and that is the part of you, right? That is you observing your breath,
yeah.
Right? and that is, you know, it's. And that's what the practice does, right? Once it reminds us, right, even for a brief moment, that there's a part of you that can be a witness to what is happening.
Yeah.
Oh, right?
I love that. Right? Great.
And I always remember, you know, I have many, you know, great conversations with my grandmother. One of the things she told me, she said, and she was probably already 80 when or a little older when she told me this. She said, I don't feel any different, that, you know, I feel like I'm the same person. I cannot do the things that I used to. And I thought that was very interesting. And as I get older, I'm like, you know, I'm kind of the same person, but physically I'm different, you know, but I feel like deep inside I'm the same, right? And maybe that's the air inside the box, right? It's the part that is, it's, you know, true to your, you know, your deep identity, you know, that eventually returns, you know, to this bigger thing that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that, both of those concepts, both of you that y'all shared. One of the things that came to mind, I don't know if you read with your children, you read A Wrinkle in Time, the Madeline L'Engle book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But one of the main characters, Meg, her job is to name the stars. And she's like, that's my job, because she's like, other characters have more exciting or more important sounding jobs. But it made me think what you're saying, and once the shell is gone, is that she said, well, if the stars aren't named when they die, no one will ever know they were there.
Mm.
But they remain because you've named them. And it kind of, that came to mind when you were sharing that, is that there, it keeps going on. We acknowledge it, we name it, like the thoughts. Mm. And they go on, but there's an ephemeral aspect to it. There is, you know, we aren't here forever. The thoughts move on to the next thought or the next breath.
Yeah. I think part of what Mark Meepo, I'm wondering if part of what he was also trying to get us, or kind of either wrestling with himself or wanting us to wrestle with, is how do we hold both of these? How do I hold the box and the air inside the box? How do I hold the shell and the thing that will come from the shell? How do I hold the framework of something as well as the thing that's in the framework, kind of simultaneously? Because it would be wrong to ignore the pain, the thing where he says, how much pain turns to suffering depends on whether we live as something shattered or as the love about to join. So I don't think he's asking us to not notice or not find the shattering real. That is a real thing. That is not something that's not ephemeral. That is real. That is tangible. So I'm wondering if one of the things he's asking us to do here is to hold both of those kind of at the mm-hmm. same time. And then in choosing perhaps the one, not to say that the other one doesn't exist.
Right.
If I choose to be the air, that's not to say that that box, as an empty box, wasn't a something. It was.
Yeah. And he's gone through a lot in his life, a lot of pain and suffering. So he writes from that place.
Yeah, it is for sure a true acceptance that the pain is unavoidable, but as the poem states in a clear way, you know, we can control how much of that turns into suffering.
Yeah.
Right. That you know, that some of it will become suffering, but maybe by turning our attention not so much to what has been shattered, but what we're becoming or what we're transforming into, mm-hmm. that the suffering, you know, maybe will be brief, right? It won't linger as much.
Yeah. I don't know about you all, but I feel like I'm coming to the other side of it, but the beginning of the year was very hard with facing all this COVID stuff lingering on. And I found it very hard not to fall into some of the mm-hmm. one side of the fear or the pain or whatever. And it, when things like that happen, it's challenging to maintain practice, but I think it's the practice that helps me get to the other side of it. Yeah. Even at the same time mm-hmm. that I'm just want to sort of throw in the towel, but staying with it. And I could feel myself coming to the other side of it. So that idea, what you're saying about holding both, reminds me of, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh, who recently died, where he talks about everything being interdependent. Mm-hmm. Like he'll say a piece of paper and the sun are interdependent because the sun causes the tree to grow, if the paper come together, all of these things are interdependent.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Linda Joyce, any last thoughts before we end our discussion today?
I guess I have a question, or just one last little thing. Was I'm curious as to, if you mentioned the box, but if there's a line or two that either of you all speaks to you, because the last three lines of the poem are real powerful to me. And I just was curious as to what yours are.
For me, it's the same thing. I think when he gets to the end and he says, we can live as a shell waiting to crack or a dove waking to its song. It kind of boils down to, am I the thing that is inside the shell waiting to come out and be, or am I attached to the shell itself? And I'm often attached to my shell. I'm not going to say that I'm not, but it's very hopeful to me to think I can be the dove waiting to emerge.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's great. I don't think I can add anything else to that, Joyce.
Be a dove.
Yes, be a dove. So I think this has been another great conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you both. You know, I think this has been just really wonderful to share this poem with both of you. So mm-hmm. I think we're going to have some links on the podcast so you can go and look at the poem and also have your own reflective space and see how this speaks to you about this moment in your life. So thank you for listening. For Linda Joyce and myself, Gustavo, thank you for joining us, and until next time.
Thanks.
Bye.
For more information about the Abbey, podcasts, resources, or groups to join on Zoom, visit theabbey.us.